My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. This is a tweet from Aaron Wilson of KPRC Channel 2. He's got a list of players, several Texans not slated to play against the Steelers tonight. So before we get into some of the matchups we're going to be looking at, I think it makes perfect sense to go through this list just so we know exactly what we're going to be watching and who we're going to be watching tonight. So, Seth, here we go. Here is the list. Titus Howard. We now know what the issue was, though. Minor knee injury, Aaron says.
Minor knee injury, yep. So he's not playing. Okay,
he
so
will
you're
not
starting
play.
Right tackle, yep. Not out there.
Laremy Tunsil, off-season knee scope. We knew that was coming. Kamari Lassiter is an ankle injury. He will not play tonight. No Kamari.
What the hell?
Yeah, no Kamari tonight. Will Anderson Jr., ankle, will not play tonight.
Oh, that's worse than just when I initially heard soft tissue. I was hoping, like, you know, maybe a little calf strain or something.
Now, Aaron does have a follow-up tweet to all these where he lists several guys where it's really precautionary. And Will's one of them. Where they're just being very precautionary with him. Tim Settle Jr., calf injury, not playing tonight. Desmond King, groin injury, not playing tonight.
Okay.
He's kind of battling for a job right now, too. So that's a missed opportunity for Desmond King. Christian Harris, his injury is a calf. Charlie Heck, plantar fasciitis. Tegan Katoriano, calf. He, of course, carted off of the field in the Hall of Fame game, but it doesn't look to be as serious as it initially may have looked. Noah Brown, strained shoulder.
Okay.
I mean, Noah Brown, that was one of the – him and Jimmy Ward last year were the two guys that when they were on the field, they were super productive, but they weren't on the field nearly enough.
Right, yeah, and he's battling for a spot too.
Okay. He is, yep. The last few here, Jeff Okuda, Brevin Jordan. He doesn't list anything for either of these guys as far as what the issue is, but Jeff Okuda, Brevin Jordan, who for the second straight training camp has been missing a lot of time. It didn't hurt him last year. He made the team. And I think he's going to make the team this year just because they have hardly any tight ends in camp right now. Two of them aren't playing tonight. Dalton Schultz, Cade Stover. If you want to watch Cade Stover, tonight's your night because Dalton Schultz is probably going to play two series, and then the other two tight ends aren't playing tonight. Cade Stover is probably going to get about 70 snaps in the game tonight.
Yeah, so that'll be good. He needs the reps. He needs experience blocking. I thought he showed some really promising signs in the game last week. So the biggest thing for me now – As a couple days ago, I was upset that T.J. Watt and Highsmith and Cam Hayward wouldn't be playing. Now I'm kind of happy that they're not. The best pass rushers for the Steelers are not playing. But you've also got Blake Fisher and Charlie Heck is playing. So you got
Charlie Heck's not playing.
He's not playing.
Charlie Heck, plantar fasciitis.
So you got David Sharp or somebody else at right tackle.
Nick Broeker was the one who came in for Titus Howard.
That's right. He came in and played last week. Yep. So actually, I'm excited to see Nick Broeker get more work at right tackle. And yet, my appetite for C.J. Stroud playing, it just went way down. And I think I don't think there's less of a chance you're going to see the look, you weren't going to see the wide-open Texans offense anyway.
No.
It's a preseason. They want to be careful about this. But I think you'll see potentially a more boring version of football if you're not certain about either of your offensive tackles. Blake Fisher, I thought, did some good things in that first game too. And he'll be doing it against backups again, but you're going to have your starting quarterback back there. So they'll, it makes me a little bit more nervous about C.J. Stroud playing in the preseason.
Yeah, give the guys on the edge plenty of help and get C.J. his three or four passes he needs to throw. You know, get this. Now, this does mean, you know, the names that were not on that list I just read, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, they're all going to be out there today. So, you know, we're going to get our first look at this thing today.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll be fun.
And you're getting it against a Steelers squad that they're resting a couple of the guys in the secondary. Plus, Cam Sutton is injured, so he's just not out there. So this might be – it still might be a pretty good aerial tech. Okay, I'm back in it. I'm back into being excited about it.
Good.
Because you've got one of the best – one of the very best wide receiving core in the league going up against a not full-force Steelers defense. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it. Someone's asking, is Joe Mixon on that list? I think he was. He's on a follow-up tweet. He's not playing. He hasn't practiced since July 19th. So Joe Mixon's not playing tonight, which, good segue. Good job, Texter. Damian Pierce, big opportunity for tonight for him. I would submit Damian Pierce, until we see him running against actual other NFL teams in pads head to toe and being able to get tackled, which we've not seen in a long, long time with Damian Pierce. He's battling for his job right now. Now, the team really likes him. D'Amico Ryans has had nothing but good things to say about Damian Pierce, but this is a big night for Damian Pierce. Here was Nick Caserio back during the first week of training camp when he was on with me and Seth talking about what did Pierce need to do better to fit into this scheme.
Just having a clear headspace and kind of clearing your mind and kind of starting from scratch and refreshing. He trained very hard. He had a good attitude. He got himself in good condition. I really don't want to get into the depths and the detail, but I would say he was dealing with more than maybe people realize. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that affects maybe how you perform and play because you've had a lot of things going on. And there were times where he probably pressed and put maybe some undue pressure on himself. So when you take it holistically, everything into consideration, there were some ups and downs, and the way he handled it, honestly, was very mature. So he's in a lot better space. He's had a really good spring. He's popped some runs here in practice, and you're starting to see some of the things that you saw, you know, that we saw at Florida, that you saw as a rookie. And he had some good plays last year. I think the good plays sometimes get drowned out by some of the negative plays, and then everybody kind of – those get sort of accentuated a little bit, more than they should. So, again – like, great kid, great attitude. He's going to help our football team, you know, and we're glad he's here.
Yeah, he did have some good plays last year. I think you and I both feel like even on his good plays, though, he didn't look like vintage rookie year Damian Pierce.
Yep.
So that's just a huge part of him translating what we've seen in practice, which is, you know, it's hard to measure sometimes, okay, my memory of this guy during training camp practice this year versus last year. I did think that Damian Pierce looked more comfortable in the offense in practice compared to how he looked in practice last year. So it's just a matter of translating it over to the field. As far as, you know, you give credit to Damian Pierce for fighting through last year and taking that setback with aplomb, but that's a nice Miss Congeniality award.
Right.
You know, like, it doesn't, at the end of the day, it's okay, what does he look like as a football player? As a human being, yes, awesome, still love it, still feel great that he was able to battle through that, but you gotta, first and foremost, be a really good running back, so hopefully we see some flashes of that today.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's just, I don't care what the numbers look like with Damian, I care what it looks like, you know what I mean? I care what, what his decisiveness, what his style looks like almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, almost, yeah, I'm more, I'd like, I want to see a couple broken tackles more so than anything else.
Yeah.
And I want to see him plant his foot in the ground and get vertical the way Arian Foster or various other great zone running backs have done. And I think he's capable of doing it. It's just, you got to see it.
Yep, a lot of texts from people on what they're looking forward to seeing. Looking forward to seeing the running back group and Lassiter. Okay, well, that text came in before I read the list.
I listed the five that I'm excited about seeing, and Kamari Lassiter was number two on that. Now, this does leave open, my number one thing that I wanted to see was this defensive line, which particularly the guys on the interior, like Mario Edwards and Foley Fatakasu, they've been tearing up the Texans' offensive line, but you don't know what to make of that. Yeah. I have no idea whether that's a good thing for the Texans' defensive line or if it's a bad thing for the Texans' offensive line. The Steelers will start, at least as of a couple days ago, they were going to start four of their starting five offensive linemen. The left guard, the starting left guard will be out. So for the most part, you're going to see this starting defensive line, except for Will Anderson, versus the starting Steelers offensive line. You know, in a regular season game, this is how it is. You're going to be going up against four starters and one backup more times than not, most likely, with a lot of teams.
Yep. Texter pointing out, tackles need help tonight. We only have two tight ends. I know. That's
where Cade Stover's blocking.
Yeah, man.
Is really coming in. Except that the Steelers don't have their best edge rushers out there, so it's not as much of a test.
Yeah, can I get prop bets, or can I get a little? Is Cade Stover more than X amount of receptions on Prize Picks tonight? He's going to be out there a ton.
I doubt. I would check. Let me check betus.com for Prize Picks. I got to get the okay. I don't know. I don't see a prop bet on Cade Stover for tonight.
Damn, it feels like taking candy from a baby. He's going to be out there so much, man. Yeah, a lot of people weighing in. So D line versus a mobile quarterback, you want to see. They've torpedoed your Kamari Lassiter dream of watching him go against George Pickens tonight because he's got an ankle injury. Jalen Petrie is the one that got a lot of love here on the text page earlier when we were talking about the game tonight.
In terms of something they want to see.
So they want to see, yeah. And how he gets used. I think they've heard us talking, and others obviously, talking so much about slot corner, and is he a good fit there? Is he a bad fit there? There's good things he does. There's deficiencies, whatever.
As a nickel linebacker, I think it could be really good. As a slot corner, I don't think they're going to use him all that much in the tougher parts. I don't think they're going to have him in man coverage on a lot of wide receivers in the league. So, but somebody earlier asked, like, hey, can Jalen Petrie be one of the starting linebackers? Basically, when you're playing the nickelback on a team that's in nickel over 70% of the time, he kind of already is one of the starting linebackers if he's in that role. So it's in modern football, he's kind of one of your linebackers. It's just that we haven't seen him in that role before.
Right.
He did a lot of this stuff at Baylor, but that's a whole different scenario. So this, I mean, we'll see. I don't think they're going to be blitzing the hell out of him or anything. Like, they probably... They plan on using him selectively on blitzes during the regular season, but we'll see him in a different role.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm like, the things that probably make him a good nickel linebacker are things that we may not see till week one, you know, just because the Texans don't want to show their hand with anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if they're like, if the Steelers come out with three wide receivers, the Texans will be in nickel and Petrie will be out there.
Yeah,
and so you'll get to, you're right. You're
like blitzing. I'm talking about blitzing.
The exotic stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
Which is another thing. You know, John Harris brought this up. You're in this weird spot with Jalen Petrie, where despite him setting records for tackles by a rookie, et cetera, his rookie year, he actually wasn't a good tackler. So, yeah.
It's like leading the league in at-bats, you know? What'd you hit, 210?
That was one of the things that first endeared Jimmy Ward to me, was Jimmy Ward, when he was on Richard Sherman's podcast, was talking about when he first met Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie had kind of just told Jimmy Ward that he led the team or league in tackles or whatever, and Jimmy Ward was like, it's not necessarily a good thing, man. You're on a really bad defense. Like, if your safety is getting a boatload of tackles because the front seven is completely useless, then that's not necessarily a great thing.
You know who routinely led the Texans in tackles in the David Culley year? Jonathan Owens.
Exactly, right. You know?
And where is he now?
Seen gallivanting about Paris. Yes.
Right. Now, it nabbed him Simone Biles, but, you know, he's a journeyman in the NFL. I don't know, that's a pretty good trade-off, though. Being a journeyman in the NFL, but having the most famous gymnast of all time as your spouse.
They seem like a genuinely good pair, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I remember talking to Jonathan Joseph about Jonathan Owens, and he said that he's just a good kid. He's like, the way Jonathan Joseph was describing him, he is the kind of kid that you would want to marry your sister or your world-famous gymnast.
Yes.
So you're a locally born world-famous gymnast.
You have pointed out many times what a handsome face he has.
He's a very handsome fellow.
He's a very attractive guy, yeah, no doubt. And he's back stateside now. He's back playing football again.
I told you, I got 10 minutes into the Simone Biles documentary, and I flip-flopped completely on my take about Jonathan Owens going to the Olympics. I was like, yep, nope, that's where he needs to be. Don't worry about the other stuff. Life is more important. Go to the Olympics.
Do you care to... Can you shed some light on why you changed your opinion so quickly?
Well, because it was so much of about like Simone Biles and her experience in the 2020 Olympics. It had to do with her, you know, kind of coming to terms with a lot of stuff that happened with the U.S. gymnastics doctor, but also being over there in the bubble and... Yeah. Not having her family around her like she typically did in every single gymnastics event she'd ever been in, and just not having that kind of environment and everything, I felt like, oh, okay, yeah, this is bigger than Jonathan Owens making the team. Now, I do, some of the people who disagreed with me at the time, they were like, well, that would be like Simone Biles not going to the Super Bowl because she had to practice. Like, no. That would be like her not going to the Super Bowl because she had to qualify for the Olympics.
Right.
Like she would miss an actual meet.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan Owens is not in a position where he's a slam dunk to make the team.
Right.
So it's more like, no, that's Jonathan Owens missing out on it. And it's, so it's a sacrifice, but it's one that I get and I understand now that I've watched the documentary.
Okay, my commitment to you is I'm going to watch that documentary. Is it a one-episode documentary? Like, how much time am I investing in this?
No, I think I'm like 2.5 into it, so I don't know how many there are.
Okay. But the first 10 minutes changed your opinion on this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's the people that are like... That because I without having seen the documentary, I skew towards the side of he should stay here and practice with his football teammates. If I were a football teammate of Jonathan Owens, there would be part of me like, okay, so there's a threshold here, like the Olympics.
You know what, I think it's almost though, it's one of those things where if he were a star player and you were doing it, I would feel like, oh, he's getting special treatment. When you're a bubble player on the team, a fringe player, I look at it more as like, okay, he's willing to make that sacrifice just because he wants to be there for his wife, you know, and like it might hurt him in his chances to make the team, but I kind
of
get it.
The drama part of me wants him to not make the team. The part that likes Jonathan Owens, I have nothing against Jonathan Owens. I just if it were me, if I were him, I would have stayed here because I'd be nervous about not making the football team. That's just how I'm wired. He did his thing, you know.
I saw some people say, and this is not a bad take, it's an interesting one, that he almost maybe has a better chance of making the team now because the team will be criticized if they cut him. I understand where that comes from.
Yes.
I don't think that's the way the team would operate.
I don't either.
That's like, it's ultimately, anytime football crosses over into the mainstream media, there's all kinds of people that are going to have bad opinions about what a football team that they don't actually care about should be doing. None of the actual Bears fans are going to actually take it that way. So for the fan base they care about, I don't think it matters one bit.
Text message, didn't Will Anderson do a sideline interview at the Hall of Fame game? His injury can't be that bad. No, it's not. I mentioned Aaron Wilson had a follow-up tweet. I read the long list of guys who aren't playing tonight. Several of them he listed in a subsequent tweet to say, you know, essentially, if this were a regular season game, these guys could play in the game. They're just being ultra cautious with some of these guys.
Yes. I guess I wouldn't have read into that as being an indication that he had a bad injury. And other than, like, yeah, obviously he wasn't in a walking boot or anything like that.
Yeah.
They're, D'Amico talked about this the other day. They are, you know, they're very keenly aware of just limiting guys' reps in the preseason. And it was cool because immediately you think, oh yeah, analytics and load management and all that. But D'Amico had kind of an old school football sentiment, which is just that you don't want to peak too early.
Yeah.
So you kind of limit things. Like an NFL training camp, it's not as grueling as it used to be, but it's really, really long.
Yeah.
And there is that monotony that sets in to where you don't want guys to lose their mental edge and kind of their passion. So I think D'Amico uses the analytics and uses the body tracking data, but also just wants to kind of keep that that fighting spirit alive through a really long training camp.
Well, keep in mind, it's a week longer for the Texans right. than it would normally be, you know?
Yeah.
Because that Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, you know how I feel about that. It's only been a couple years that it's been three preseason games, so when they start talking about how it's a longer preseason, I'm like, well, yeah, I guess.
But for these guys, they're used to starting on, like, July 27th. They started on July 18th, you know? Yeah. They started 9 or 10 days earlier than they normally do. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Should this be an indicator that J.J. Watt is returning? We will judge.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
coming up next.
Pendergast.
All right, so J.J. Watt, I don't think the topic of J.J. Watt coming back, we're in like a simmer mode with it right now. Like, it's not at the top of the heap. Although Kay Adams of the Up and Adams podcast, sponsored by FanDuel, formerly of Good Morning Football, she was at Texans training camp this week up in Ohio, and she sat down with several different people, including D'Amico Ryans, including Danielle Hunter. She at least on social media, seems to be trying to push it back to the front burner, the possibility of J.J. returning.
She did this.
She sat down with Danielle Hunter, and we know Danielle's wearing number 55. He's not wearing his normal number, number 99, which he wore in Minnesota. So you tell me. I'm going to play the audio from this topic here where she asks him about that decision. And you tell me, because Kay Adams retweeted this bit of audio by saying, J.J. absolutely playing for Texans this year. Change my mind. All right? So take a listen to this, and you tell me, do you think after hearing this that J.J. Watt is coming back to play for the Texans?
Numbers don't matter except yours, because you're wearing the 55 and it's throwing me the F off, Danielle. What is this?
I mean, it's the same double-digit trend from what I brought from Minnesota, but, out of respect for J.J., he wore 99 for the Houston Texans. and he did a lot for the city of Houston. So it's only right to just let it be for him. You know, just coming into a new team, new number, but keeping a double-digit number trend. So I kind of like it.
I do like it, but it was just your idea. There was no discussion about it. You were just like, this is what I'm going to do. It's very freaking cool of you.
I mean, it definitely had to be the same digit. So, but I feel like 55 was the best-looking one out of all of them.
Yeah, no, that didn't. It didn't seem.
Is J.J. Watt coming back based on that bit of audio?
Based on that, God no, yeah. No. He went to a. Danielle Hunter grew up in Houston. He knows very well who J.J. Watt was. J.J. would have been winning his defensive MVPs when Danielle was in high school or college?
High school, yeah.
And it was no. I don't think for a single minute that was somehow. An indication that J.J. was coming back. That was just a guy. J.J. Watt's number is all but retired right now. Whether they officially retire. Well, Cal doesn't believe in retiring numbers, but it's kind of like the Cowboys do with their wide receivers.
With 88.
You got to be a certain type of. And even then, I feel like giving it to a rookie like they did. He wasn't going to take 99. I don't think there was a chance in hell that Danielle Hunter had any appetite in taking 99. Whether J.J. Watt was flirting with coming back or whether he had lost his leg in a skiing accident, I don't think he was going to be taking number 99.
We'll hear from D'Amico here in a second. I guess if I'm just trying to climb inside Kay Adams' brain for a second and try to figure out what she's hearing in that cut that make her think this...
Yeah,
I guess just the mere fact that he left 99 open, like that's it. Like he voluntarily from right out of the chute said, "I'm not wearing number 99. I'm leaving it here. It's JJ's." Even though Danielle Hunter said nothing to the effect of him coming back.
Especially because Danielle Hunter is like the most understated guy. You know, he strikes me as a guy that just loves playing football, has no appetite for being a superstar or anything like that. And the last thing he wants is to come in and, you know, just be like any kind of a distraction based on which number he decides to wear. So, no, I wholeheartedly reject Kay Adams, although I really like Kay Adams and I think she does an incredible job with her interviews.
Yeah.
And she's super smart and plugged in when she's like that national reporter that when she's talking to local people, it's like she's clued in on all the local stuff.
She's really good.
So I was actually surprised that I personally think she misread this.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that JJ is or is not coming back, but I think she misread that this has anything to do with whether he'll come back.
Yep. All right, so D'Amico talked about this. I've not heard this one yet.
Right, okay. So, and I don't know if she spoke to D'Amico before or after she spoke to Danielle Hunter, but I listened to this from D'Amico, and you know I've been pretty bullish on the prospects of JJ coming back.
You have, yeah.
This was a bit of a reality check to me when D'Amico was asked, you know, is JJ coming back?
JJ knows. Anytime he's ready, I'm ready.
What does that mean?
If he's ready. JJ's been out now for, 2 years? When you stop playing football for 2 years, it's hard to come back.
So you're saying that knowing it's an open invitation, but he's probably not going to take it.
It's always open for JJ. I'm never closing that door.
All right.
Yeah. The part when he laid it out about how hard it is to come back, I almost feel like D'Amico knows something we don't know. I don't know.
Now, here's where I'd give Kay Adams a full pass on the first tweet that we read, the one where she retweeted the Danielle Hunter cut and said, JJ absolutely playing for the Texans this year, changed my mind, is if the very next tweet was that video with D'Amico, and she goes, no chance JJ Watt coming back this year, change my mind.
Yeah.
It was the very next one. If she did those back-to-back, I'd give her a pass. But as of right now, no pass, Kay. You do a great job. But I'm with Seth. I don't think I don't see Danielle Hunter wearing 55 as an indicator that J.J. Watt is definitely coming back.
No,
absolutely playing is what she said.
I think D'Amico there also might have just been kind of also, you know, he doesn't want to put any pressure on him. This is the classic case where, you know, it's somebody's got to really want it. You're not going to try to talk him into it because of all of those challenges.
Yep.
That's a J.J. Watt decision, and D'Amico's not going to be the guy that's, you know, trying to bend his ear or something or make him make that decision, because you can't, nobody, it's a completely 100% individual decision.
Yep.
Unless things get desperate, and then D'Amico starts. D'Amico's like, all right, that's it. Now I'm gonna
yeah, you got to get over here, man.
Yeah.
I'll send the limo.
We really need you now. I was saying we really needed you before. We really need you now.
You told me you'd come back if I needed you.
It turns out D'Amico Autry actually bought that stuff from a horse trainer.
We're getting some texts from people, still getting texts. This is good. People are amped for this game tonight with the Texans and the Steelers to see some of these guys. I don't think people are amped like, let's go beat the Steelers. I think it seems like people are really into some of these individual performances tonight. And this is a good one, Seth. Text message, looking forward to seeing Kalen Bullock have another good game. Kalen Bullock has had a really good camp so far.
Yeah, and Kalen Bullock I put in that same category of rookies when I want to see the flashes of the positive more so than I worry about the negatives.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, if he was getting destroyed and torched every time he tried to cover somebody, that would be one thing. But if you're doing it in preseason games versus NFL caliber backups, and then you can increase the level of, increase the difficulty level this week. If he makes a good play in breaking up a George Pickens ball or something, that's exciting. So, yeah. And I think he's just a guy that he needs reps. He just needs reps. I think he's shown all the natural potential. He's looked like his scouting report in a good way. I think Cade Stover has looked like his scouting report in a good way. Both those guys did some good things, but also made some rookie mistakes or had some rookie L's in that last game. And there's plenty of time over the course of the next 3 weeks for those guys to grow by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I'm excited about this rookie class so far. You know, the first four guys, Lassiter, Fisher, Bullock, who we were just talking about, and Stover. I'm just kind of going through the order in my head that they got picked. So far, so good as far as these guys all looking like they're going to be contributors on this team this year. I know Blake Fisher, in a perfect world, he doesn't contribute very much because both your starting tackles are healthy, but he's certainly getting a nice baptism by fire here early on.
The biggest thing about Lassiter that D'Amico keeps coming back to is his consistency and that he consistently shows up. But then I think also the big question you always have in your mind when you're talking about playing a rookie is like, all right, is this guy going to screw us? Can I trust him to go out there? And aside from making plays, but first and foremost, do no harm.
Yeah.
Don't be making mental errors and mental busts. And so far, they seem to be very impressed in that regard. So I'll be surprised at this point if Lassiter is not the starting cornerback in week one. I really, really wish they could have seen him this week.
Yeah. My only caveat would be unless whatever this injury is something that keeps lingering throughout camp, and he just isn't getting on the field. But yeah, if he's healthy and out there, he's the guy, I think. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. We'll wrap things up. In the Loop coming in, I'm actually anxious to get John Lopez and Figgy's thoughts on an anecdote that Nico Collins told about Jim Harbaugh on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. Was this inbounds or out of bounds what Jim Harbaugh did with Nico Collins back in the day? We've got that for you coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Jim Harbaugh is a little bit of a weirdo. I don't think I'm going out of bounds by saying that.
I don't think that's anything he would deny.
I don't think he would either. Yeah. I think he would admit he's a little eccentric. And we've heard stories before, just the legendary stories of Jim Harbaugh on the recruiting trail back when he was the head coach at the University of Michigan, where he coached, among hundreds of others, Nico Collins, current Texans wide receiver. Nico was on with the Bussin' with the Boys crew. Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, he and Nico and Tank were doing a kind of a dual interview with them together, and Nico told this anecdote about Jim Harbaugh's recruiting efforts with him, where it winds up with Jim Harbaugh sleeping on the floor in Nico Collins' living room back when Nico was in high school.
Recruiting story with Coach Harbaugh. Is it true that he
ate his fries?
He ate your fries when he first met
man,
you?
Man, I ate my fries. Look, it was crazy. I came in, man, from lunch. Right, so he came in, him and Coach Pep. So they was in the field house, man. He sat down. I was eating my lunch. He was sitting there beside me. He said, "What's up, Mom? Jim Harbaugh. I'm like, how you doing, Nico Collins?" Like, food looked kind of good. He went there and grabbed the fry, right? I'm like, go ahead, just have it, But and then that night, man, he came over to the crib. He stayed over. And
he slept over?
Yeah, he slept over. It was crazy because I wasn't expecting him to chill.
Like in a camper outside?
Man, I'm talking about.
He shared the room.
He was in the living room. He was in the living room on the floor. So he came on the floor. Yeah, so he came in. He came in the city, man. So he was there the whole entire day, him and Pep Hamilton. And we was there just chilling. You know, he said he was going to stay the night. I really didn't believe it until he really didn't leave. It was like 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's for real. It was for real, you know.
You had to commit.
He was one of them. I'm like, yeah, Harbaugh, he's locked in with me, man. And I feel like ever since then, he stood out to me in my whole recruiting process. So I feel like, man, Harbaugh always been that guy for me.
Okay, in re-listening to that, Seth, the funniest thing to me, well, the funniest thing is Jim Harbaugh sleeping on the floor in Nico's living room. But the thing that didn't hit me the first time that hit me the second time was the lead-in question to that whole story was about Jim Harbaugh eating a couple of Nico's fries, not the fact that he ends up crashing on his living room floor. Like, eating the fries, like, all right, it may be a little rude or whatever.
Imposed himself in multiple ways. Yeah. And it does sound like, I'd love to know the timing of when he first told him that he was going to sleep on the floor in his living room.
Yes.
Because it sounds like he might have said it earlier in the visit, and Nico didn't really know for sure if he was joking or not, and then it came time to go to bed because Nico's a good, hardworking high school kid and wants to get to bed on time at 9 o'clock. And he was like, "Oh no, we're really sleeping on the floor here."
Do you think he just like, I'm trying to picture this thing. Like, Jim Harbaugh has a look on the sidelines. Like he has a uniform himself almost. He wears those khaki pants, the college sweatshirt, like the big kind of loose fitting, like baggy sweatshirt, the Michigan ball cap, and then he's either got shades or he's got glasses on, and you know, and he's got his, you know, his Nike running shoes or whatever they are. Do you think that's what he slept in on the couch, like in his khakis and his sweatshirt, and just kind of put his hat down the brim, like over his eyes, and went to sleep?
He probably had a suitcase with him that, yeah, did he have? He strikes me as a PJs guy. I feel like he's got PJs. You know, and like, did he have a travel kit and everything else? I guess they're in Alabama, so yeah, I guess he just was ready to camp out on the. I'd love if him and Pep actually put a little pup tent up in the living room.
Right in the living room, like they made a fort.
With the couch
and you get a blanket and you make a roof and you throw all the pillows inside the fort. Pep Hamilton and Jim Harbaugh making a fort in Nico Collins' living room.
I bet Pep wanted to build a fort, and Jim, because he's the head coach, was like, "No, listen, Pep. This is why you couldn't hack it at Stanford. You don't have it gets too hot. It gets too hot inside of the. It gets too hot
the
inside
fort.
The tent.
It does.
Yeah,
it
inside
does.
Of the fort.
Yeah.
I'm just astounded. And we've heard stories like this. He's done this at other recruits, but the way it all went. It doesn't sound like it was an invitation beforehand or anything. He was just planning on sleeping there. I don't know how I would have taken this. The last thing you want in the world is somebody that just decides to sleep over when you're an adult.
Yeah.
It's fun as hell when you're a kid or, you know, a young adult or something. But when you got a routine in the morning and you make your coffee, you take your morning dump, all that. Like, I don't need Jim Harbaugh. I don't need Jim Harbaugh in my living room. Well, I'm trying to drop a deuce in the guest bathroom.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here?
I think the sport factors in, too, also. Like, that feels like, okay, it's football. There's weird things that happen with football. There is sort of that summer camp mentality sometimes. I tell you right now, my daughter was a highly recruited cross-country athlete. I heard of a coach, especially a male coach, coming to the house and being like, and keep in mind, my daughter went to high school up in Chicago. I was down here in Houston. Like, if I heard a story about, hey, the coach from Wisconsin just stayed on our couch last night, I'd be like, oh, okay, you're not going to Wisconsin. I'm telling you right now.
And look, you know, Nico grew up in Clay, Alabama, which is just, it's like 20 minutes outside of Birmingham. There's plenty of, I know, I saw this on the text line earlier. People talked about like, oh, the trash hotels there must be in Birmingham. There's some nice hotels in Birmingham. I've stayed in Birmingham before. This was not a lack of accommodation situation.
No.
This was Jim Harbaugh being one of the most unique and weird individuals in the history of the planet. Not just football. He's a weird dude. And it served him well, obviously.
Yes.
He's an eccentric dude.
Yeah.
I don't think this is something that people should try to emulate. I think you can only pull this off if you're Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I don't think this is like a recruiting tactic or something that anybody should try. You can only pull this off if you're as eccentric as Jim Harbaugh.
And I think Jim Harbaugh is the only one. And I would have said there's only two prior to a couple of years ago. Like Mike Leach, I think, might have been able to pull this off too. But he's no longer with us. But
Mike Leach would have just kept talking the whole night.
He would have. He would have stayed in your living room, but he never would have gone to sleep.
He would have been talking to you about Native American history and stuff, dude, the whole time. It would have been a disaster.
Dude, did I ever tell you about the interview that Ted Johnson and I did with Mike Leach one time?
It ended up all being about Vikings?
It was all about Geronimo. Whole thing was about Geronimo. Like, dude, so Rich was out on vacation. One of those times Rich was out on vacation. Mm-hmm. And so it was me and Ted Johnson. This is back in the days of the Triple Threat. And we got Mike Leach on the show. I forget why or how or whatever, but we got Mike Leach on the show. We talked about football for about 3 minutes, and then he started talking about Geronimo, and he would not get off of Geronimo. He went 10 minutes about Geronimo. It was incredible.
You're trying to, like, did you have to cut him off?
He's so entertaining. I don't know that I even thought to cut him off. I, if I remember correctly, I think Ted might have even engaged him about Geronimo and started asking Geronimo questions.
I've seen a lot of long form pieces, like oral histories of him doing various things. There's got to be stories out there about, like, man, if he was in a recruit's home and the dad was a whiskey drinker, like, that he probably, they probably had a lot of long recruiting trips where a few of the nights were, like, him staying up until dawn talking to the recruit's dad.
Yeah. That's a guy I would let hang out in my living room. Leach is really interesting. he's very entertaining, or was.
I feel like Harbaugh, a lot of people brought up, you know, various examples of, like, well, if it was in my situation, the biggest thing, if I was a recruit, the last thing I'd want is if I came out in the morning and Harbaugh was no longer on the living room floor, and he comes walking out of my mom's room or something. Like, that's like Forrest Gump style says, your mama sure does care about your college football career.
I see. Now I like picturing Harbaugh already awake, boxers and tank top, standing at the stove, got the spatula out, kind of shuffling through the scrambled eggs, and then looking over at me, the recruit, saying, "You like eggs, kid?" And I'll be like, "Yeah." He goes, "You know who else likes eggs? Your mom."
I'm your daddy now.
Yeah.
I think the most likely thing would be, you're like, okay, I'm going to get up early, but I'm going to tiptoe because I don't want to disturb the coach. I'm sure he's tired and he's sleeping. And then as soon as you walk into the living room, it's Jim Harbaugh doing old school calisthenics in his boxers and in his wife beater, like the deep knee bends with his arms out in front of him.
He's got it on
in a full lather, like sweating his ass off. And he's like 97, 98, 99.
Or he's got ESPN2 on with like an old Denise Austin episode or something like that. And he's doing doing all the yoga and the stretches and everything. Oh God, this is great.
He definitely has a battered up old body shaping VHS that he uses to work out to.
Don't we all?
Richard Simmons or something like that. You guys have a VHS? I love to do the Richard
Simmons. Got a
Simmons.
Bunch of tapes.
Love to sweat to the oldies when
That's
I can.
Funny. Good morning, gentlemen. This is a text page, text to the text page, 713-572-4610. I'm curious about something to do with the Texans. I know some people are kind of down on Jalen Petrie, but I really like him, and I keep hearing really good things about Bullock. Do those two play the same kind of position, or does one of them play more the Jimmy Ward-style position?
One plays safety, and Jalen Petrie's probably not going to play as much safety this year. He will. I mean, we've seen him out there playing safety in practice. But, yeah, so Kalen Bullock's a guy that, like, you look at him as potentially a deep center field type of safety. Think about a guy roving around, breaking up passes, all of that stuff. Where Jalen Petrie, I think, is probably best used more up towards the line of scrimmage. He almost just doesn't have, it's not a football IQ thing. It's almost just the mentality of being a deep center fielder. I think he can't help himself sometimes, that he's just got to come up and be closer to the action. So, I think they probably envision him more in that role. The biggest thing is really just, though, he's got to clean up his tackling. He's got to be – if you want to be a guy that plays up near the line of scrimmage, you got to be a guy who's a good and sound and secure tackler, and he hasn't been that so far in his first couple years.
The Texans, man, I've looked at a few different articles, Seth, about the first week of preseason football, and I know the Texans have already played a game, but this is really preseason week one for the league. The Hall of Fame game is like its own thing. The Texans and the Steelers are like the number one game everybody's got their eye on tonight and tomorrow around the league.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama around exactly who's going to play quarterback for the Steelers this year. And Mike Tomlin said the stuff that matters in the preseason games in those evaluations are going to matter more than what they see in practice. And right now, they've seen good stuff out of Justin Fields by a lot of reports out of Pittsburgh in practice. But they want to see that in this new offense with a new offensive coordinator, it's going to have some wrinkles because of Justin Fields' running ability.
Yeah.
They want to see what they have in him. So if the Texans defense really shows up and Justin Fields turns in a horrible performance, they very might well be deciding the quarterback competition right now. For those of you who don't know, Russell Wilson hasn't practiced much. He injured his calf in the conditioning test. Must be the worst conditioning test ever. If you're trying to see if somebody's in shape and you're actually bludgeoning them to death. He's not going to play tonight.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.